waiting for you. It's time to play Truth or Consequences. Plays brought to you by Velvet Sons Ivory Soap, 99 and 44, 100% pure. It floats. Hold your hats, folks. He's in again. The lad who brought the front parlor back into its own. Your Truth for Consequences, man, Ralph Edwards.
Oh, Eddie, that's great. Ed Hurley, good evening, party players. Who was missing? The contestants that we chose in the audience beforehand, we called up a lot of them. Did they all come up?
Yeah.
All right. We choose them just before we go on the air, and we want to make sure they all were up here. Ed Hurley, nice to have you on the show, boy. Listen, here's something you folks will be interested to hear. You folks listening in out there on the West Coast, Narong from Denver West, remember a few weeks back we had a mother of a son who was in the service talk for a few moments on the sale of war bonds, and then we said if she sold $10,000 worth over our 22 Western stations before the program went off the air, we'd give her a free trip to visit her son at his camp. Well, we sold $109,000 in bonds just on the hookup with you folks here that are listening. And tonight, we did the same show, giving another mother a chance to see her, to see her son, if she sold $50,000 in war bonds on Truth or Consequences on our Eastern show. We put the goal at $50,000 because there are five times as many stations on the Eastern hookup. And she sold, within 25 minutes, over $500,000 in war bonds. Just a few minutes ago on our first show. The reports are still coming in. They estimate $1 million will be sold just from that one mother making a 30-second plea for war bonds. Our thanks to you folks and the NBC stations for such wonderful cooperation. Incidentally, Butte, Montana deserves special mention, don't they? KGIR reported over $50,000 alone on our Western show a few weeks ago. More bombs and bullets to sink the axes, eh, boys? Here we have three men at the microphone. Hello, fellas.
Hi.
I wonder if I got all your names here. Who's Mr. Fleming? Robert Fleming.
Right here.
How are you, sir?
Fine, thank you.
Where are you from?
New York.
What's your occupation?
Patrolman.
A patrolman?
That's right.
He's got us. Joints rated. Get out. Come on back.
All right.
Just let me wear this tuxedo through the show, that's all. Mr. Al Zudek. Zudek, how are you?
Right here. Fine, thank you.
Where are you from?
Los Angeles.
Los Angeles? And what is your occupation?
Salesman.
Salesman. It carries you far afield, does it not, eh?
You betcha.
All right, Mr. John Martin.
Right.
Hello there, Mr. Martin. You're from Weehawken, New Jersey.
That's right.
What do you do?
Printer in a film lab.
Okay, now, boys, we're going to have a little question for you. Miss it, and we'll have a little consequence, eh? It's another in our series of bigger questions, biggies, we call them. See if you can figure this bigger. Mama Bigger and Papa Bigger and Baby Bigger were out on a picnic eating hot dogs. Along came a bee and stung Baby Bigger. Who was the bigger bigger and why? Truth or consequences? 20 seconds.
Baby Bigger.
Baby Bigger, why? You have to
got
say.
Me there.
No, it got Baby Bigger there. The bee. Well, as I said, Mama Bigger and Papa Bigger and Baby Bigger were out on a picnic eating hot dogs. Along came a bee and stung Baby Bigger. Who was the bigger bigger and why? The answer is Baby Bigger because he was a weeny bit bigger.
Oh.
Just a little. There we go. In the file and forget department, you haven't told the truth, Mr. Martin, Mr. Zudek, and Mr. Fleming, so you must pay the consequences. Putting towels around the neck now. Please take off your coats, roll up your sleeves, boys. Roll them up. They're way up, the sleeves. Take off your coats. And then we'll put shower caps on you, too. You want to be well protected, Miss Consequence. And put you behind these three screens that we have on stage. There go the shower caps. That's to keep any flying hair out of your eyes, gentlemen. We'll put you behind those three screens there on stage that face each other in a triangular formation. Each screen faces the other, you understand? And each one has a hole for your head and two holes for your arms. Now, Mr. Fleming, you get behind screen number one. Mr. Martin, you behind screen number two, and you stick your head and arms out of screen number three there. Mr. Zudek. Zudek it is. All right. Martin in one, Fleming in two, Zudek in three. Remember those numbers, remember those names. Now listen, each one of you will now be handled a bottle of, handed a bottle of seltzer water. There you are, a bottle of seltzer water. Don't squirt them yet, fellas. You won't squirt it yet, will you, Mr. Zudek?
Oh, gosh, no.
No. All right, I'm going to ask some questions of different people in our audience. And their answer must be a number, such as how many children do you have? And if the person should say three, why, number one, that is Mr. Fleming, and Martin, number two, would squirt water at Mr. Zudek, number three. And then if I should ask a question that should provoke an answer that was number two, we'll say number one and number three will shoot at Mr. Martin. You see how that is? Whenever the number is called, the other two fellows squirt water at the number called. All right. Here we go into the audience now to get the answers that will determine your fate. Now, just one thing to remember, boys. Listen, just one thing to remember. Every time you get hit with water, yell, "I love it! I love it!" Will you yell that once just for fun? Let's hear it.
I love it! I love it!
Yeah, I'm sure you do. All right. Now, let's see. I'll ask this lady a question first. How many shower caps do you see on stage?
Three.
Two and one hit! All right, whoa! That's good. Contestants. Mr. Fleming, be careful of your aim. You went clear over the top of the screen and landed on half the contestants. Into the audience. Everybody goes into the audience. All right, let's go. Let's talk with a man now. Let's say this man in here. Do you have any children, sir?
No, sir.
You don't? Well, we can't have a number zero. Do you have any children, sir?
Yes, sir. I have one.
One? Two and three, squared at number one. Did they say, "I love it, I love it"? I didn't hear him saying, "I love it."
All right.
Now we'll take a lady here, any lady. Let's take this lady. Which man up there getting squirted with water do you feel most sorry for? Which one do you feel most sorry for? One, two, or three?
Mr. Two, he hasn't been squirted.
Mr. Two, you feel sorry for. Oh, boy. Ran out of water, so they're replacing it. Hold off. That's enough. Hey, hold off there. They gave themselves a water bottle. All right. Now, this is the last question. This young man who's been in the audience here. Hello, little boy.
Hello.
How old are you?
Four,
right? That won't do us any good. I'm glad I'm in the audience and it got me. Can you count?
Yes.
Let's hear you count.
One.
Keep going. Don't stop there. Two, yes. Everybody except you folks at home there got wet on that one. Wow. $5 a piece to each of the men, and five cakes of Ivory Soap to you all. And to the four-year-old boy in the audience, thanks. Thanks. Oh, Laura Dean Dutton. Hello, folks.
Hello.
Here comes that star of that new Broadway musical, New Faces of 1943. Say, it's Laura Dean Dutton, and it's time for beauty, Laura.
Well, then it's time for Ivory.
Well, what's your song?
Kalamazoo.
Laura, you're on.
Ivory, what a soap. It's grand for your skin. From coast to coast, gentle Ivory's the toast of ladies who win in love and romance. Baby will say, it's Ivory for you. For your complexion, it's simply perfection. You'll say so too, it's true of Ivory. Doctors say to use it, doctors say to choose it. Doctors should know. Ed Herlihy?
More doctors advise pure Ivory soap for your complexion than all other brands of soap put together.
It's not accidental. Ivory soap is gentle. Take a look at baby, then you'll see why. Ivory soap is the soap for a lovelier you. Ed?
Why, one single cleansing with Velvet Suds Ivory leaves the skin with all its natural beauty, smooth and baby bright.
Ivory can do it, so won't you turn to it? Babies do, so why don't you?
Oh, 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 what a soap for beauty! And that's the truth, Laura Dean Dutton. You betcha. Miss Jean Steenhoff. S-T-E-E-N-H-O-F-F. Hello, Miss Steenhoff.
How do you do?
Where are you from?
New Haven, Connecticut.
New Haven, Connecticut. All right. And your occupation?
Telephone operator.
A telephone operator. All right. Now, I've got a little question here for you. Incidentally, when interviewing you volunteer contestants in the audience, you said you had a soldier boyfriend in Los Angeles. So where was he stationed?
Lemoore Army Flying School.
Lemoore, making sarongs out there, I guess. No, they're really working hard and working right, believe me. All right, he's in Los Angeles then.
Yes.
Do you want to give his name or not?
Corporal Thomas Arden.
Okay. Here's your question. Oh, Corporal, what's going to happen if she misses this? Let's see how well acquainted you are with the ups and downs of things. What manner of transportation carries more passengers per day in the United States than any other? Truth or consequences? Go, Beulah. No snitching in the audience. Please. What manner of transportation carries more passengers per day in the United States than any other?
I don't know. You have me.
Now, the corporal's got you. Elevators.
Oh.
Well, you haven't told the truth.
Corny.
So, that's what?
Corny.
Corny? Oh, that's praise for a question on this show. Christmas is upon us. We know that, don't we, Miss Steenhoff?
Yes, sir.
And our fighting forces will soon be enjoying the 101 welcome presents the folks at home have sent them. Now, truth or consequences, the thought that your boyfriend, Tom, out there in Los Angeles, might get a kick out of a Christmas stocking filled with presents. Think he would?
Yes, sir.
All right. So we brought up several gifts and are giving them to you to send on to your boyfriend at, say, the camp again or whatever it is.
Lemoore.
Yes. Tom is his name. Yeah. Well, we have a number of beautiful presents for your soldier boy, specially selected, and we have a stocking to put all these gifts in. So if you boys will just give me the stocking now, we'll... The stocking. Where's the stocking? We've got to have a stocking.
So I'll have to take that off.
Well, no, I tell you what we'll do. We'll ask for volunteers. First of all, let's ask you, Miss Steenhoff, are you game enough to donate your stocking to put all your boyfriend's Christmas presents in?
My last pair of nylons, but I will.
Well, you will?
Sure.
Oh, maybe we got an extra pair around, isn't it? Sometime we can find one. That's swell.
Nylons.
All right. And, you're making it very easy for us, yes. I tell you what, we'll wrap them all with Christmas cotton so the stocking won't be marred, and Tom will have to see to it that the stocking gets back to you. Don't worry, we got some other stuff to fix up, so all right. You'll donate the stocking.
Sure.
That's swell. We realize what a sacrifice giving up a stocking is. All right, will you bring out a couple of sheets or something, boys, so Miss Steenhoff can have some privacy? Those three sheets. That's it. Now, will some of you gentlemen come up and hold these sheets around Miss Steenhoff to make a sort of tent, please? Just hold them all around her. That's it. We'll have a little bit of music while you're taking off the stocking. Bill Meter at the organ. Will you play a little appropriate music like take it off, Billy? There we are. How you doing, Miss Steenhoff?
Fine.
That's it. That's good. Do you need some light?
What's that?
Need some light?
Nope.
Well, that's a powerful lot of unsnapping going on there. All right. Here we are. Thank you. Thank you, Miss Steenhoff. Now, on Christmas morning, this stocking of yours will be given to your boyfriend at Lemoore camp there. You sure it's Lemoore? I mean, it's all right to say that, isn't it? And it will be filled with these presents. Hold the microphone. You hold the stocking open, Herb. Kay, you drop the presents in. Ed, you get in here, too. Here we are. First of all, it'll be filled with this Ronson cigarette lighter. There it goes in. This ever-ready flashlight. There it goes in. This carton of cigarettes into the stocking. A year's subscription. Push it way down, way down. A year's subscription to Newsweek magazine. There it goes. A Schick injector razor. A Seaforth commando shaving kit.
It's getting...
No more room in that stocking? We'll have to have another one, I think. Bring out the sheets again. Bring out the sheets. A little appropriate music down at the organ, if you will, please. We'll have to have the other stocking. Wait a minute. That's it. But there we go. We'll need so many presents. Mike, I'm glad we didn't find anyone with short socks, aren't you, Herb?
I'm delighted.
Just one? There we are. All right. How is it? All right? Oh, fine. All right, now, here we go. We'll continue. A whole box of Fifth Avenue candy bars. Tom can pass these out. Just dump them in there to all the gang in his group there. All right, get all the candy bars in, and now here is a Bulova serviceman's wristwatch to go in the Christmas stocking, to show him the nice wristwatch that we have out of the box. All right, and a handsome portable radio. There we are. That goes in there, too. In the stocking. Oh, yes! Wait a minute. I forgot a 5-gallon keg of witch hazel, good for tired feet. There it is. Well, wait, that's going to be pretty hard to get in. We'll have to send that out by Pony Express. Boy, is that stocking bulging. Well, Miss Steenhoff, this Christmas stocking will be hung on your boyfriend's army cot in Camp Lemoore without a sarong, and he can return it to you after he takes all the goodies out if he wants. Do you think he'll enjoy it?
Oh, he will, surely.
Five cakes of ivory soap. Your suds as soft as baby skin. Wonderful for the complexion. And what's this? Oh, a Christmas present to you, Miss Steenhoff. Will you open it, please? There are 3 pair of lovely hose, the kind you're wearing. But if they don't fit, let us know, and we'll get the kind that do fit. Thank you. Well, I guess my wife goes without that Christmas present this year. That's nice. It was fun. It was worth it. All right. Let's have Mr. David Bloom. Hello, Mr. Bloom.
How do you do?
Where are you from?
New York.
New York, eh? What is your occupation?
Manufacturer.
Talk very loud.
Manufacturer of ladies' hats.
Of ladies' hats.
That's right.
All right. Not ladies' socks.
No,
I know a girl, Miss Steenhoff, we might happen to see. All right. You were one of the volunteer contestants in the audience who told us you had a female relative you could call on the telephone in case you missed a question and had to pay the consequences. Is that right?
That's right.
Okay. Here's the question. We'll soon find out if you have to make the call. Comes from Mrs. J.J. Saresic of Lebo, Kansas. She asks, what grows only in the wintertime and grows down instead of up? Truth or consequences? And please, no snitching in the audience. You have 20 seconds before Beulah the buzzer says, it's all up, Mr. Bloom. What grows only in the wintertime and grows down instead of up? Times are coming up. An icicle. Yeah. Well, Mr. Bloom, you haven't told the truth, so you must pay the consequences. And your consequence is just to call any female relative you want. Now, I tell you what, Mr. Bloom, your telephone awaits you offstage. Just go off there, give the number of the relative that you want to call, and when you get her on the phone, we'll bring you back on stage. What relative is it, by the way?
A sister-in-law.
And where's the sister-in-law?
In Hollywood.
In Hollywood?
That's right.
All right. Off you go. Go on, give the number to our operator. We'll go on with the show. Just, you'll find him right out at the desk there. The operator will put the call right through, and we'll have some fun. Close the door, because what's going to happen to him? There it closes. He's out of hearing distance. So, now, will Mr. Bloom's wife, Mrs. Bloom, come up on stage quickly, Mrs. Bloom? Come on. We noticed Mrs. Bloom here while choosing contestants, too. Come on up, Mrs. Bloom. And quickly, got to get going. There we go. Now, we want you to come right up here at the microphone. I won't talk to you till you get right up here. Have you... Tell me this. Besides interviewing the audience tonight, have you ever talked to me before?
No, sir.
Have you any idea what we want you to do?
No, sir.
All right. Are you quite familiar with the relative your husband is supposed to be calling on the phone?
I am.
What's her name?
Helen Schrank.
Helen. Helen what?
Schrank.
Well, it'll be all right. I say supposed to be calling because actually our operator is just pretending to be getting the number of the relative. Now, your husband, in other words, is to be the victim of a hoax. The person your husband will talk to on the phone is you, but your voice will be on a recording. Mrs. Schrank won't even have to come into it. Now, here's how we'll work it. I'm going to ask you to say a few sentences into this recording machine that we have here, recording microphone. We will record what you say. And then this recording, do I have to make it on this mic? I have to make it on this mic, don't I? Oh, any mic. All right. Then this recording will be played back into the receiver of the telephone when your hubby comes back to speak. Do you see? He'll think he's speaking to Mrs. Schrank, his sister-in-law. Can I change that name? What's her first name?
Helen.
To Helen. But actually, it'll be your familiar voice all the time. Only you'll be standing right beside him. We'll call you...
I'm afraid he'll recognize me.
Well, that's the consequence. We'll see if he does. First, he'll probably say hello. So you watch me very carefully and don't say anything except what I tell you to, you see, because it's going to be recorded. Now, you say hello into the microphone so we can record it. When I signal you with my hand like this, you say hello.
Honey, hello?
You ad-lib. It's all right. That's good. That honey's going to kill him, believe me. Then he'll probably say, this is, what's his first name?
Dave.
He'll say, this is Dave. So we leave a space on the record, and you say, why, Dave! Dave, darling.
Why, Dave,
wait a minute,
darling.
Dear. Wait a minute, wait a minute. Why, Dave, darling, how are you? Don't say that until... That's all right, you can remember that. Why, Dave, darling, how are you? When I go like that, you say, why, Dave, darling, how are you?
Why, Dave, darling, how are you?
That's wonderful the way she does it. All right, that's recorded. Then he'll probably say, I'm on Truth or Consequences. So your next recorded sentence should be, I always said you were the foolish member of the family, Dave. Do you know that? We have it written out here for you. I always said you were the foolish member of the family, Dave.
I always said you were the foolish member of the family, Dave.
All right, we're getting that. We're going to have to hurry. Now, another pause on the record while he has time to say something else. And then, no matter what he said, we'll hear your recorded voice saying, what's your first name?
Beatrice.
Say, how's Beatrice? That's all you have to say. Now, wait a minute.
How's Beatrice?
All right. Now, you say, you better say that again. Say, I can't hear you. How's Beatrice?
I can't.
Wait.
I can't hear you. How's Beatrice?
Say it once more. How's Beatrice? Now, wait a minute. Are you deaf? How's Beatrice?
I can't hear you. How's Beatrice? Are you deaf?
Oh, you're going to kill him. All right. Now, we better skip right to the end. All right, listen. Now we want you to record this. We want you to say, we're sending you two rolls of bologna for Christmas. Now, you can say, we're sending you two rolls of bologna for Christmas.
We're sending you two rolls of bologna for Christmas. Tied up.
All right. That's all right. That was off, wasn't it? All right. Now, don't say any more than what's written on this card now. Say, now we want you to say, as a matter of fact, this is all a lot of bologna because this is your wife speaking. My voice is recorded. Can you read it there?
Yes, sir.
All right. Get ready.
As a matter of fact, this is all a lot of bologna because this is your wife speaking. My voice is recorded.
All right, that's good. That's fine. Now, you go back and sit in the audience. Sit right up there somewhere and get ready to come right back. We'll call you up in a minute. Mister, now, don't let him... He hasn't seen, has he? That's good. That's good. Now, Mr. Bloom can be brought back on stage. Come in, Mr. Bloom. He'll think he's talking to his relative wife. Come on. Actually, it'll be his wife. He'll think it's a relative. Come here, Mr. Bloom. How are you?
Fine. How are you?
Get on this side of the microphone, will you?
Sure.
Okay. I think the operator has this relative of yours on the phone, they told me. And you're all set to talk, are you?
I sure am.
All right, I think it'd be nice. Come over with this telephone. Johnny, tune in this mic, will you? Let me put on these earphones, and I'll listen in with you. And you take this telephone just a minute now. I think it'd be nice if your wife came up and stood beside you so she can say hello too, huh? Bring, come up, Mrs. Bloom, quickly. Mrs. Bloom, will you come up, please? I know she's here because when we interviewed her in the audience tonight, she... Can you get him all right?
Hello. Are you on the phone?
Come on, Mrs. Bloom. You may want to talk. Is it your sister on the... Is it your sister?
Yes.
It's your sister. And it's your sister-in-law. And what's her name? Helen...
David Bloom.
No, her
name is Helen Schrank.
All right. All right, now get ready.
Hello. All right, just a moment.
Now, first of all, say hello to her. Get on the mic. Get on the telephone.
Hello. Hello.
Shit,
how are you, dear?
She said, honey, hello?
How are you, honey?
Say, this is... What'd she say? What did she say?
How are you?
Oh, goodness. Well, tell her you're on Truth or Consequences.
I'm on Truth and Consequences now. We're having a swell time. Hello. Hello.
I always said you were the foolish member of the family.
I'm foolish? Go on.
Do you want to put...
Mother, honey? How's Mother?
What is this?
Hello.
How's
fine? She's fine. I've got Joe and Ann down here, and they're having a swell time. I have Joe and Ann over here, and they're having a swell time. I tell you, it's a swell show. I says, Beatrice is fine. What's going on here?
What'd you say?
What'd you say? You send my kid a baloney?
Two rolls of bologna for Christmas.
Listen, dear, I'm all upset here.
Listen.
No joke.
You get the gag?
I do.
What'd you say?
This is my wife speaking. Her voice was recorded.
Mr. Bloom recorded your Weiss, boys. That was swell. Here you are, $5 in war stamps, 5 cakes of ivory, and now we take you to the court of higher appeal. Hands appeal. Judge Ed Hurley, he presiding.
The 12-day trial for lovelier hands is now in session.
Will the court please come to Ivory Soap for Dishes?
Whereas you, madam, may have hands that look a little red and coarse, be it known you're probably using a strong wash day soap for dishes. Oh, that's criminal. Prosecute that strong soap. Give it up. Win the case with Ivory. Give pure Ivory soap a 12-day trial right in your dishpan. Ivory summons velvet suds. They're pure, they're mild, they're gentle. Just ask baby, Ivory's own star witness. Madam, you'll say, laws, these suds feel wonderful. Your hands will testify to that, for in 12 days, what evidence, your hands will look much whiter, softer, smoother. Ivory's fee, about a penny a day for dishes. Get 3 large-sized cakes of Velvet Suds Ivory. It's a saving of the third degree.
12 days, lovelier hands. We're to witty. Private John Halsnack. Mr. Halsnack, how are you?
How are you?
Okay, boy. Mary Edwards of Baltimore, Maryland, no relation, sends us in. An actor standing in the wings heard several hundred people applauding, yet when he stepped before the footlights a moment later, there was not a single person in the theater. How do you account for this, Private Halsnack of Louisville, Kentucky, truth or consequences?
When he stepped before.
Yeah, he heard several hundred people applauding out in the audience. And when he stepped before the footlights a moment later, there was not a single person in the theater. How do you account for it?
Well, there was more than a single person in the audience.
No, they were all married. No single person. You haven't told the truth, so you must pay the consequences. We're going to get your lucky number tonight. Look into this magic ball here that we have, this crystal ball, and say, oh, master of the crystal ball, are you listening? We'll get you your lucky number. Numerology is a great thing. Go ahead, say it.
Oh, master of the...
crystal ball.
Of the crystal ball.
Are you listening?
Are you listening?
Hello, Halsey. What's on your mind?
Yeah, now ask him.
Gee whiz.
Tell him to give him your magic number.
Give me my magic number, Crystal Ball.
Your number? Oh, number, yeah. Let's see. I had it here someplace. Here it is. Atwater 9, 109... No, that's Gertrude's number. Here it is. Number 7. Your number is 7, Halsey.
7. Okay, that's all we want to know. Here's your $5 and 5 cakes of ivory.
Wait a minute, Edwards. I said his number was 7. Make that $7 and 7 cakes of ivory.
Okay. Now, listen. How would you like to take out a model to a show tonight, all right?
Oh, gee, that'd be swell.
All right, here's that very beautiful model.
Hold it, Edwards. Make that 7 beautiful models.
Oh, yes, sir. 7. Do you think you can handle 7 models?
Well, I can make a stab at it.
All right. Here we are. Just the world's greatest girls. 7 Conover cover girls. Misty Duncan. Come out. Louise Walsh. Sue Thomas. Lorraine Walker. Woo! Michael Wheeler. Choo Choo Johnson. And Jean Christie. 7 of the most beautiful girls in the world. Here they are. Here you are. Take the that you want. I say the Capitol Theater because 7 days leave is playing there. All right, have a good time on your way.
Now?
Yeah, and right now. And I tell you what, because 7 is your lucky number, we'll have 7 sailors come to escort the girls so that they can keep an eye on you. 7 sailors to help out, too. There they go. The movie, The Truth or Consequences, in. We hope you all see it. And now, before we announce the grand prize winner, let me ask you this important question. Were you planning to travel at Christmas time? All right, then listen to the consequences. I see a Christmas tree. I see a mother and a father and a baby sister. They're sitting, waiting for a soldier boy, and he doesn't come home. And why? Because you took the train he had hoped to make. You bought the seat he'd hoped to take. He can't get home. The trains are full. Now, folks, 51% of all travel today is still for pleasure, and that shouldn't be. We're trying to move troops, 1 million every month. We need those planes and trains and buses. And now comes Christmas time. Every bus should take to the road, every train to the rails with the most important cargo in the world. Our boys going home before they go to war. Going home for Christmas. If you travel, they can't make it. If you stay right where you are, they can. Which is the Christmas spirit? Let's all get in this. Who's the grand prize winner tonight, Herb? It is Mrs. Bloom, Mr. and Mrs. Bloom. He made the telephone call. The hoax telephone call. You get a $25 war bond, another war bond that joins millions more to help build the Night of America. Thanks, and now for Procter & Gamble, this is Ralph Edwards saying good night until we meet again next week. Good night, everybody.
This program came to you from New York. This is the National Broadcasting Company.